Welcome to Inside Independent Publishing. I'm your host, Christopher Locke, and I'm also the IBPA member liaison. Okay, so Ingram Spark is Ingram Content Group's publish on demand platform, and that enables delivery of print books, electronic content to readers all over the world. And it's also because of that one of our most popular IBPA member benefits. Members, and here's the kind of benefit they get. Members get a free title setup and free revisions up to 5 uses per month. And sometimes that changes, so make sure you check the IBPA membership benefits handbook in case it has updated. But that's what it is currently. Okay, so because it's so popular, IBPA staff gets tons of questions about the platform. We're like the de facto customer service as well for Ingram Spark. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite Ingram Spark's Manager of Business Development and Sales, Josh Floyd, to the podcast, and he's going to answer all your burning questions. Awesome. So welcome, Josh.
Thanks for having me, Christopher.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And as I said, Ingram Spark's one of the most popular member benefits. So it's really cool to have you here. And I'm just gonna shoot all kinds of questions. And you're a genius at Ingram Spark. So you'll answer all of them. Okay. So here's kind of the first big confusion I think some people have when they're a publisher, author publisher. They think when they post a book onto Ingram Spark, they think, okay, well, now Ingram Spark's going to sell this to all the bookstores, libraries, and all that. But that's actually more traditional distribution where you have that marketing team. So can you just explain then, what is Ingram Spark versus like traditional distribution?
So with Ingram Spark, the best way to think about our service that we're offering to you is we are your back-end logistics. We are the guys and gals running around the warehouse on tow motors, printing, picking, packing, and shipping the books where they need to go. So through the Ingram Spark platform, what we are doing is we are making your book available for purchase through Ingram Book Company. And Ingram Book Company reaches over 40,000 retailers, libraries, museums, gift shops, anywhere books are sold across the world. And so at any given moment, you may have bookstores ordering from the UK. You may have universities or gift shops or museums or big box stores, independent bookstores, online retailers ordering from Ingram every given day. And Ingram carries a catalog of over 16 million titles. So when you list your book with Ingram Spark, what you are doing is you are making your book available in that Ingram catalog of the 16 plus million titles. Also, when you list your book with Ingram Spark, we're automatically going to post it at barnesandnoble.com and at amazon.com. So what we are doing is facilitating the orders that come into Ingram. So as the publisher, what you want to do is go out into the field when you're doing your marketing or when you're doing your legwork, talking to retailers, talking to librarians. What you would let that entity know is that the book is available from Ingram for purchase because Ingram is a wholesaler in the book industry. So what that allows for is an independent retailer or a big box store or a library to order all the books that they need on one invoice and one shipment from one location, or one entity being Ingram. And so not only can they order your title, on that same order, they can grab their PRH books, they can grab their Macmillan books, their Simon & Schuster books. So all of these books are available from Ingram. The retailer and library knows, hey, if it's at Ingram, I can add it to my normal Ingram stock up order, and it's gonna flow through the normal processes that I'm used to on ordering all the books that I order. So we are not actively out hand selling your titles like a full distribution company does. What we were doing is making the book available to the world to purchase through Ingram. And when those orders come in, the systems take off, we're notified that an order came in, and then we print that book then and get the book out the door through Ingram where it needs to go.
And regarding like bookstores and libraries, so Ingram's like really the biggest in the world when it comes to like distribution. So when you want to get your book into a bookstore or library, it basically is like required for those different places to pretty much have it in Ingram because that's where they generally go to order their books, right?
Exactly. And so I'm in my 10th year here at Ingram, and my first half of my time here was actually an independent bookstore rep for the U.S., calling on all the major independents across 15 different states. And so what you'll find is they are extremely familiar with Ingram. They know who Ingram is. They know that Ingram uses its resources to help carry on the independent bookstores, to carry on all these brick and mortar retailers. Like that's where our resources and expertise goes. It's a different market than the online sales. And so when you go into an independent bookstore and say you only have your book available through the other online, the other online service out there in KDP, for instance. Well, if your book is only available in KDP and not available within Ingram's catalog or systems, the bookstore is more than likely, most likely, 99% of the time, not going to want to carry that book because it's not coming from a trusted vendor or a trusted source or somebody who is not being detrimental to their business. So what you'll hear a lot of retailers and librarians say is that I need to see the book available from Ingram. At least if I know it's available from Ingram, I'm not supporting competitors. And also I can fit the book into my natural ordering processes. Another thing about coming directly to Ingram Spark when you upload your titles is, for one, let me make the note that we're non-exclusive. We're not just use us and nobody else. We are meant to be another tool in your publishing belt. You should be using all services that are out there and available to you so that you have the widest discoverability possible. In the vein of having the widest discoverability possible, as you mentioned, Ingram is one of the world's largest, most trusted global wholesalers of print and digital content. So we have an expansive reach outside of online to all the bricks and mortars and all the different places that books are sold. So making your book available through us gives you the widest discoverability through Ingram's channels of distribution. So with us, you are the publisher. We are simply printing and shipping the books where they need to go. You are the publisher and you are in control of every aspect of that title when you're with Ingram Spark. That means you get to have your publishing company name that's on there. And a caveat there is I highly recommend getting an LLC if you don't have one, but you don't have to have an LLC to name your publishing company name. You can name it anything you want. You can look at your desk and name it Pen Publishing or, you know, Cup Publishing, whatever you need to name it. But you want to name it a publishing company outside of your own individual name. Because what happens is when your book enters the Ingram catalog, retailers are looking at it at what we call iPage. iPage is Ingram's catalog that the retailers and librarians have to search for the titles in Ingram's inventory and stock. Well, when they pull up the book in iPage, they have all the metadata there, all the pertinent information. So they can see your publishing company name. They can see the discount that you're setting on the book. They can see whether the book is returnable or non-returnable. And so by coming to Ingram Spark directly, you are in control of all three of those aspects. You can have a publishing name that's not your own. You were able to set the return status, whether you want the book to be returnable or non-returnable. And you get to set what is the market discount. So a lot of people get confused about the market discount, and this conversation happens all the time. So for anybody using Ingram Spark, if you were wanting to make your book available to the retailers and libraries at the discounts they're used to getting on every other book they order from Ingram, you need to put a minimum of a 53% discount on there. So 53 to 55% discount will get you what we call a reg discount in the retail industry. That means when the bookstore pulls the title up in iPage, they can look at it. They see your publishing name, they see reg, that tells me, the retailer, hey, I get my regular Ingram discount on this title. And then they can see whether it's returnable or non-returnable. And please know that they're not one-time be-all set. So a lot of times, if you're a debut author or an author who's just venturing into print for the first time, and you don't have a track record of brick and mortar sales or a pipeline of brick and mortar opportunities, you can certainly come in at what we call a short discount. That's anything less than the 53% discount that we mentioned. And with Ingram Spark, you can go from 30% all the way to 55%. So for me, if I was an author coming in with no track record or back history of brick and mortar sales, I would be more apt to go with the lower discount that I'm offering Ingram, because I know that I don't have bookstores and libraries reaching out to Ingram to order this title quite yet. And so what you can do is you can go one of two ways. You can say, hey, I'm really going to be doing my marketing and efforts to drive people online to buy the book, whether that's bookshop.org, whether that's my local independent bookstore who has their own website, or whether it's Barnes & Noble or Amazon. I know that my marketing efforts, I'm going to be driving to online sales. Well, you can get away with that shorter discount and non-returnable status because the sale that takes place in that transaction is a final sale. The website is just facilitating a sale between you and the reader. So the end user is the one making the purchase. Whereas if an independent bookstore that you're working with, or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, when you're working with those type of brick and mortar entities, what they are doing is taking a gamble. It's like buying a stock. What they're saying is, okay, I'm going to take a gamble on this stock, bring it in and put it on my shelf and hope that somebody comes in and buys it.
Yeah, and let me ask about the returnable. So who covers that cost? If they return it, do they pay part of the cost, or does that all go to the publisher?
Typically, the retailer is not recouping all the money that they spent on that book. They are taking a loss on the return, which is why they would much rather sell it or even sell it at a discount. There's sometimes a penalty fee for returns, depending on the volume of returns that are coming back. But the way the money works in the return is, we have sold the book on your behalf or facilitated. So we didn't sell it. We just facilitated the order that came in. And so what we did is we paid you a publisher compensation for that sale that took place. Well, now the return's coming back. So the money that was garnered during that original sale is now gone. So what happens, even in the traditional publishing methods, is that that cost of goes back to the publisher. So in a scenario where I have a print-on-demand title, and say I sell 5 titles to an independent bookstore, I have a great sale, like that's a huge sale, I've got 5 titles. Well, say 4 of the books sold, and I can never get somebody to go in there and buy the 5th book, and the book sits around long enough, that that last copy comes back. Well, when that copy comes back, it comes back through Ingram, so there goes the retailer to Ingram, and then it's going to go through all that Ingram processing and then back to the publisher. Well, we paid you a publisher compensation for that sale that never happened. So we're gonna take that publisher compensation negative from your positive publisher compensation that we owe you for other sales. And so we'll just deduct that from your positive. And then also what happens is you paid Ingram Spark in this scenario to print the book. There again, we are a printer. So you're out the money that was cost to print the book to facilitate that sale. And so what happens is it's a negative all the way back to the publisher, and it's a negative for everybody involved in the process as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was a way that, because I know sometimes I've had our members reach out and say, hey, like so-and-so bought 1,000 books and then they had 900 returned, and I got a bill for like $7,000, and they're like, that's more than I make like any, you know, in a month's time. So yeah, I wish there was a way to like make that whole process like safer so that no one gets hurt. Retailers, publishers, I don't know how we can deter that.
Absolutely. And the problem with that is it's an industry standard that's been around since the industry has. And unfortunately, it is within our industry the way it's done across the board. And nobody likes returns at all.
Yeah.
A lot of times too, as you know, with online retailers doing the practices the way they do and driving down the cost of books, the actual retail cost of books, trying to, you know, race to the bottom. Nobody wins when you race to the bottom. You lose so much margin from where the, you know, what a book used to cost to buy versus what it costs to buy a book now. And so when you start racing to the bottom on retail pricing, you're working on razor thin margins. So one error, one slip up can get you. And so what I always tell folks is this, is when you're, you know, a great, great, great sale is 3 copies to that store. A really, really, really good sale is 1 copy to that store, because there's obviously something relevant about that book that the store thinks that they could sell. So that's not where you're going to be tripped up. And typically within Ingram Spark, we see an average return percentage of 1-3% annually. So we don't see a massive amount of returns. And so if you're ever talking to a Barnes & Noble, where you get the opportunity to talk to a BAM buyer, and you're getting somewhere in those conversations, do not hesitate to let them know that you're an independent author or an independent publisher, and that they need to be very conservative on their buys. And this is something that I've heard Barnes & Noble buyers talk about when we used to do in-live panels at industry events. And I've been up there on the panels with them talking about this. And that is that if you let them know that you're an independent author, an independent publisher, and that a major return could crush you, they're conscious. They will be savvy about the buy. It's not a negative to say that. It's very much in your favor to be extremely honest, because then they know not to buy the book widespread. They know to make it more of a regional purchase or buying for stores specifically to where that book can really sell the best. And then also when you get into other, a lot of folks, they get excited. They've got a Target buyer, they've got a Walmart buyer, they've got a Costco buyer. Well, just something to realize again is let them know that you are not a major publishing house and that they need to be conservative in those buys. Because a lot of times those return percentages are a lot higher than you're going to see at an independent or through an online sale, obviously, in libraries. Libraries return less than 3% of the books they buy. So it's about being smart and upfront and not getting your eyes too big for your stomach when you get the opportunity to make a sale. And another thing that you should do, that traditional publishers do in full distribution, is you need to set back 30 to 40% of your profit margin, your publisher compensation. You need to set that as what we call a returns reserve. So any of the money that you make for sales, you should be taking 30 to 40% of that and setting it aside in a separate account, not buying a car, not buying the new bag that you want or whatever it is. You need to take that money and set it aside as your returns reserve, just in case you have that scenario where you get hit with a return and you need to dip into some money to do it. So that's a very good practice to have, especially if you're selling, you know, thousands upon thousands of copies.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Yeah, I definitely think people should do that. So I wanted to also ask, so IngramSpark, one of the great things about IngramSpark is that you all do distribute to retailers like Amazon, Apple iBooks, Barnes & Noble, all these places. But technically, you know, people can directly upload their books to those sites. So I wanted to ask from, you know, IngramSpark standpoint then, well, why, what's the benefits of going through IngramSpark to all those sites versus just one by one going to all the sites yourself?
Yeah, so there's two different avenues there that you're kind of talking to. One is the print book, one is the ebook avenue for distribution. Print book, the value that we talked about earlier, that this is where retailers like to order from. This is where they do their restock orders. It allows them to consolidate all the different publishers' books they need on one order, one invoice, one receiving package. And so that's where the value comes there, is you're making it easier for the retailer to access your title and their normal processes on your print book. Now, on the ebook, you're right. You can go directly to Apple. You can go directly to Kobo. You can go directly to Amazon. And a lot of times you may see that the compensation may be a little bit better going directly to Amazon than, say, having to get to Amazon through other outlets. So the value in our ebook service is the massive amount of reach that we have. So we recently did in the past year an update to our ebook agreement where we added more outlets. So now, listen to your book with IngramSpark. Your book is not only available to the retailers, it's available to the library market. It's available to the rental markets where people can just pay to rent the book. And so it's in subscription markets, is now available through Ingram's ebooks as well. So the value in going through IngramSpark for ebooks is that you can make one update to your ebook, and we're going to update it across all the 85, 90 plus different outlets that we list that book. But also another caveat to the ebook service that we offer is that we offer opt out for Amazon or Apple. So you may say, hey, I already have an Amazon direct relationship for my ebook, and I'm very more than satisfied with that. Or I'm already used to working with Apple directly on my ebooks, and I'm satisfied with that. And that's great. If that's the best fit for you and best model, by all means, go do that. But just know that there are 80 to 90 to 100 other outlets that your ebook could be available at, and that we do have strong sales through as Ingram itself. It's a one-stop shop to keep your metadata and your files updated across all retail outlets and library outlets and market outlets for your ebook. But you can also keep that direct relationship with Amazon and Apple if you so choose, and that's the best fit for you.
So we get this question sometimes from members who have not posted their book on something like Amazon. And sometimes then, if it, like, let's say it goes through like IngramSpark or something, it'll, on Amazon, their book will say out of stock. And they're like, what? It's print on demand. How could it be out of stock? You just print it as it goes. So like, what's happening there? Why are they saying it's out of stock?
For Amazon, the way that their stocking system works is it's based on the turnaround and what they have available. So a lot of times, yes, your book is print on demand and it is flowing over to Amazon's system saying, hey, this is print on demand. You can get it at any time. Well, a lot of times it takes Amazon systems a couple weeks to even update with this new information that it's receiving. And a lot of times if it's a low demand book and they don't see the demand there flowing through Amazon, they only will list the book as available if they actually have stock of the book. So the Amazon orders that go through aren't just consumer direct. They also order bulk from us. So if you've got a lot of orders going to Amazon, they're going to order more than they need because they see that there's a demand for this title. So they want to have stock available so that they can turn around and ship it out the fastest. We do what we can. We monitor, we watch all the titles that we can. We watch stock levels. and we can you know, make sure that Amazon knows, hey, this book is available. Some of the things that you can do is if you want to drive demand. So one of the things we used to talk and preach about a couple of years back, especially when we started seeing this become much more of a systematic issue throughout Amazon, is priming the pump. Like if you want to see sales there, you're going to have to drive sales there. And that's no different than an independent bookstore. If I wanted to see my book at my local independent bookstore, you know what I would do is I would send 10 to 15 people down there to buy the book. And so what that team will tell you, hey, a lot of times we get inquiries about why the book's not appearing. It's just our systems update on a business day basis of however many business days it is. So just because y'all are sending us this info today, it may be 5 to 7 business days before our systems can catch up to what you're sending us. Because we send out 16 million, you know, pieces of data for 16, or we send metadata out for 16 million copies, you know, every 4 or 5 hours to the industry. So it's a matter of how quickly the retailers and their systems can ingest that information and update it across the board.
Yeah. So thank you. I want to also ask some general questions about print on demand, because you all are, you know, some of the biggest, you're one of the biggest companies that does that. So and it's a really great thing. So, for example, one of the great things about print on demand is in the past, you know, publishers would have to buy like 1,000 copies of their book, and that would be expensive. And then also then the books would just sit in their garage, or worse, they'd have to get some space to warehouse it, and then they're spending money on that. So they're saving a lot of money doing that. But there are some things that, you know, are still working to be improved. So, for example, I'm an author publisher. A lot of our members are also that, but independent publishers. And what happens is, let's say you make your book $14.95, and then, you know, the author spent years writing the book. Maybe they publish it. Someone else publishes it. That's years of publishing. And then also thousands of dollars. And then they get a sale and they're like, ah, I did it. And then they make a dollar on the book. And they're like, what? I just spent like years of my life and thousands of dollars. So from a distributor printer perspective, can you just explain like where all the money goes? And then like, is there any way that we can get that like royalty for the publisher, the people creating the content to go up?
And this is something I talk about all the time with authors, specifically independent authors, is books is a volume game. It is a volume game. Even being as large as we are, the reason that we are who we are is because of the volume of which we move units and move books across the world. The margins are extremely slim throughout the book industry as a whole. And there again, that's attributed back to the bottom amount of the retail price. So one of the things I always talk about first is I'll look at a publisher's retail price and say, what are you doing with your retail price? How are you representing your brand with your retail price? So, for instance, say I've done, you know, a fiction book that's a regular trade, 6x9, paperback, you know, roughly 300, 350 pages, somewhere in there. And what I would do is the first thing that you do not want to do that a lot of folks actually do is they will race to the bottom. They will say, okay, I want to make my book, the retail price, as cheap and affordable as possible, so that entices folks to buy. But what you're doing when you do that is you're devaluing your content, and you are taking margin opportunity across the board for the retailer, for yourself, as the author, publisher, out of the equation, because you're automatically saying, all right, that margin I could have had at $17.95, I'm putting it at $14.95 because I think that's going to entice a sale, which in actuality, that's not what entices the sale. The brand, the author, the content is what entices the sale. So, for instance, if I was going to price a book and I was unsure what the retail price needs to be, I would go down to a local brick and mortar, whether it's an independent or a big box store. I would go to the shelf, the genre shelf at which my book was going to sit on. I would pull out books of what we call comparable titles. I would pull out books that are same trim size, that are same page count, that are also black and white interior, and that are of the same content type. So if I'm writing women's mysteries, I'm going to go in there and that's what I'm going to pull is the books that fit that content. Because what I'm doing is I'm honing in on my demographic and saying, okay, the demographic that I am writing to, these would be the books that they buy. And so I would lay out about 10 of them, you know, 5 to 10 of them. and I would lay them out and I would look at the retail price, not the listed price, the sticker price on the book, flip it over, look at the barcode and look at the suggested retail price of that book. And then what I would do is say, okay, based on these 10 to 20 books I've looked at, here's the retail range. It looks like some are all the way down here at $12.95 and some are up here at $19.95. Well, I know these $19.95 sell because I know the author. I've read these books. I would buy these books. I know this sells. So what you first off want to do is you want to fall in like that third or three-quarter quartile there, that third layer. You don't want to price so low that you bottom out or that you're racing to the bottom against these other books, but you don't want to price so high that you're pushing yourself out of that genre of the market. So that's one thing. The first step you can do is to make sure you're pricing at the right retail price. Secondly, is knowing your business model for your book. Just putting your book out there and saying, hey, it's available, does not mean bookstores are going to buy it and carry it in. Unless they're told about it or they see sales running through their cash wrap for this book, it's a good chance they're never, ever going to see this book. And so if I am not out marketing to bookstores or brick and mortars or libraries and saying, hey, I want to get my book in your shelves or any of this, but more so I am driving my readership to the independent bookstore's website, the Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, the bookshop.org. I'm driving readers online to purchase the book there. We talked about earlier. Okay. I can get away with a shorter market discount. So all of a sudden I'm making up compensation in the market discount. So now I'm being sound about my business model. So I got a nice retail price on it. No matter what the retailer sells that book for on their end, I'm always going to make the money that I set it at the suggested retail price. I've got my discount as, you know, as thick as I can make it, or short or big, but as short as I can make it. And so now I've got all this gap room in there of margin because I'm not passing on so much discount. And the fact that I'm driving people online to buy the book and not trying to pitch myself to independents who need returnable status, I can go non-returnable. So I lose the risk of the book coming back and any loss that could potentially happen because that book can't come back to me. It's non-returnable. So at that point in my business model, I've maximized what I'm doing. Now, say I do that, and then all of a sudden I start generating sales and I get a sales history. And then the bookstores and brick and mortars come to me and say, you know, I start getting, you know, interest from these entities that need the different terms. Then I go back and re-examine, say, okay, is the interest from these entities, you know, is it my heart's desire to see my book in a bookstore or on the shelves of a library? Or is my heart's desire to make as much money as I can for sale? And then you make a business decision there. And then when you make that business decision, then we update the terms once a week, every Friday within our system. So you can go in and adjust your discount and adjust your, you know, your return status, and you can adjust your retail price. Maybe it is that, hey, I've been running in this middle of the pack at $16.95, selling online at a smaller discount, non-returnable. I'm satisfied with the money I'm making, but I've got this opportunity to reach a new market. I get to see my book on the shelves of a store. So I know I'm going to have to raise my discount. That also may require me raising my retail price a dollar or two, because all of a sudden I'm giving away more discount on the front end. And then I know I'm going to have to make it returnable. So there again, I'm putting a risk of returns once I click that flag. And so it's just being very savvy and very business-minded about your approach to it. Another thing that happens with us and everybody else too, especially now, is print cost. Print paper is extremely scarce right now. There's a paper shortage. And so what you see is obviously supply and demand. There's only a certain amount of mills that are producing paper, and they can only produce so much paper. You know what that does? That drives the printing cost up because it drives the paper cost up. So those are also things that you would want to pay attention to, is just what's going on in the industry from a business standpoint of, okay, we all are aware that paper shortage is here and that Q4 is coming. I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can as far in advance as I can before that Q4 hits, because I know there's going to be a paper shortage, which can lead to a print shortage, which can also lead to higher costs from an offset printer or anybody who's having to use paper to print that book. So it's where you take the writing hat off and you put on that publishing, you know, finance business model hat and really look at what you're doing, how you're doing it, and how you can maximize your efforts. But as far as a simple solution to, we just pay everybody more, That would be fantastic.
Yes, more money per book. Thank you. So another question I had about print on demand is that sometimes, so far, the quality isn't. It's really good sometimes, but it's inconsistent because then every now and then you'll get books and you'll be like, "This is crooked." Like what? The whole back is like, you know. So I'm wondering, is that something that like, what, we just need new machines, or how far are we away from like print on demand being like, in terms of printing, more consistent?
If you ever get the opportunity to see an Ingram Spark facility and you get to see the way the printing goes down, every single book that comes off that printer is a different book, different size, different shape. You have your different color interiors, your different black and white interiors, your different everything. Every single individual book, the one that comes after the next one, is a different book. So it's not like we don't just accept batch orders and say, oh, we got 200 orders or 200 unit orders for, or we got 200 orders for this one book over the next past day. So we're just going to print all 200 at once. As those orders hit our system, the book starts printing. It may be a children's book. It may be a 6x9 fiction title. It may be a 5.5x8.5 nonfiction title. It may be a 4x6. So every single book coming off there is a different book. And so that does create a lot of room for error. And that's why we make the variances in what we do. But I will say that we are extremely well, and this is something I've always been very proud of and stressed. And if it is an issue like that, where it's crooked or there's an issue with the printing, you definitely need to contact us, because any type of printing issue, we will replace that unit. We'll be apologetic that it's something that happened, but we will replace it, especially if it's a printing or binding issue that's taking place. So what I always tell folks to do to make it less stressful on you and an easier process for our customer support team is, if you do see a book that comes off and that print is just off, it's crooked, something is just wrong with the printing or binding that we did on our manufacturing end, what you want to do is you want to send an email to customer support. You want to always, and this is best practices for dealing with customer support in general, because we have hundreds of thousands of authors around the world who are using us, and we have actual physical people working customer support. So it's not an automated system. It's actual human beings that are doing this. And so what happens is on a print quality issue like that, where it's a manufacturing issue, you want to fire up an email to our customer support team. You want to put your account number. Be sure to include your Ingram Spark account number. These are just best practices. You want to include the ISBN that's in question, the web order number that the book came in on. You also want to, it's extremely helpful to take a picture of the issue, whether it's a crooked cover, page upside down, wrong interior guts that came in. You want to take a picture of that. And then also what you want to take a picture of is on the very last page of every book printed through Lightning Source is a barcode. So when you look at the very last page, bottom left of the leaf, there's a barcode there. Take a picture of that too and include these in your email. So you've got your name, account number, the order number, a picture of the defect, and then a picture of that barcode. That barcode, we can take the information off that picture from your barcode, and we can tell exactly what printer at what time, where in the world, and what associate was working on the printer when that book was coming through.
And then they get fired. I'm kidding.
But we know how to pinpoint where the issue may have come from and know whether it's been addressed or something that hasn't been addressed and now it's brought to our attention.
So clearly Ingram Spark is invaluable as a tool for independent publishers and author publishers. And I just want you to know, I mean, IBPA is grateful that we have this member benefit and our members can have this access to bookstores, libraries, to get their books out there, to, as you said, all those various retail sites. So it's just so important for indie publishers and author publishers to have this access. So
we're extremely grateful to have you all as an association working with us, being able to partner with you. And I mean, we look forward to doing all we can to growing and educating more. We're always happy to do any type of education, to do any type of outreach, just anything we can to make sure that your organization is growing as strong as it can.
Yeah, and clearly we have the same dress code, blue polo shirts. That's Ingram Spark IBPA. That's how you have to dress. Okay. So look, if anyone out there wants to learn more about the Ingram Spark IBPA member benefit, I'm going to put in the YouTube notes and in the podcast notes link, but also you can go to our website at ibpa-online.org. And Josh, again, these are some of the biggest questions that members ask, and you did an incredible job thoroughly answering them. So I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me. Anytime.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. It comes out the last Thursday of every month. We can't wait to see you back for the next one. You have a wonderful day.